This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I was smiling because during that intro, they say we're going to solve problems, and I'm so used to just creating not solving them.
Yeah. But creating them, you're giving people the opportunity to avoid what you have done.
Oh, that's true.
So there you're solving them in that manner.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Plus, we're giving you that vote of confidence, you know.
Yes.
It was beautiful out this morning.
It was cold.
It was cold. Clear, though, like you said, cold, clear.
It was cold, so that's why you're wearing shorts?
That's irrelevant.
Okay. Well, most of what I say is. It was cold, but it was not as cold this morning as it was yesterday morning. And do you know what my thermometer was that told me it was colder yesterday? I'm looking at you, George.
I do not. I didn't pay attention yesterday.
It's a common horticultural marker.
It was 45 degrees.
No, my potatoes got frosted yesterday.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to use the 45 for chill, and you were going to say it was I got additional chill in my yard.
No, okay. I have two sets of potatoes, the ones that I put in the raised straw bales, and they are probably 40 or 50 feet away from the other ones that are in a cooler location in the yard. And they're right next to each other, and I take the same care of them.
And yet,
and some of them got frosted, and some of them did not. Hmm. Isn't that sad?
I didn't see any frost yesterday, nor this morning.
Yeah, and when I got to work, it was windy and warm, and there was no signs of it. It was still and calm out in my area. But it was beautiful out the moment. Did you see the crescent moon this morning?
No, I did not.
No, I didn't look up again.
You guys have to look up. Yeah. You're looking just beyond the hood of the car as you're driving down the road.
We're looking at other vehicles, pedestrians, animals trying to drive safely to work.
There were not many of any of those things out on the roads this morning. As a matter of fact,
is that why you said you were going to be late? Is it just?
Well, I thought I'd left a few minutes late, but as it turned out, I was not.
No, you perfect timing.
Beautiful out, crystal clear, stars, moon. It was gorgeous out, and no little frost crystals on my potatoes.
Or any other plant for that matter.
I think the straw bales may have participated in that by absorbing warmth and radiating it. A little wall of warmth around my taters. Not that.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway.
We were down in Point Loma last night down by the sport fishing docks. It was cold with the breeze blowing up off of the bay.
Did you see any frost damaged potato leaves while you were
down
there?
No, I did not. I didn't see any frost damaged fish either. But when we were walking around, it was fine. But man, we sat down to have dinner. Oh, it was cold. It sucked the heat right out of my fish tacos.
were they good?
Yeah, we went to Mitch's, which is in.
Rumor has it they have excellent fish tacos.
They're good. Yeah, it's
they're better warm.
It would have been better a little bit warmer, but it's in one of the sport fishing buildings. It's the one that's in the middle. Between H&M and what's the other? It's Point Loma Sport Fishing. It's the one in the middle between Fisherman's Landing and H&M. So, but yeah, it's good. Other than being a little cold. So,
I know
it was nice down there. The sunset. It was interesting. We were walking back. We had parked at the club, and we were walking back. We were walking back to the car, and we got down to where the old Kettenberg Yard used to be. And you could look across the bay to the skyline. The sun was where we were in the shadow of Point Loma, but the skyline was completely lit up from the sunset. It was beautiful. Yeah. It was absolutely beautiful. I've never seen it like that before.
And crystal clear. It was a perfect day for it.
It was really clear. So we should probably talk some more about gardening. You guys are going to be on the air in March. Was it March 18th with the Master Gardeners?
I think that's the week. I think that is part of the...
So what, why don't you tell everybody what you guys did?
I don't know. What did we do?
I think we did a presentation on citrus care and culture and varieties. You and I did for the UC Master Gardeners in San Diego.
There was supposed to be live... The Spring Master Gardener, Spring Seminars, they do it every year at the Master Gardener program. And it was supposed to be live last year, but something came up. I don't remember what it was, so we couldn't do it. And this year it's still going on 3 weeks later. And so they're trying it differently. And so we tried taping it. So we'll see how it works. We've never done it that way before. And I...
Well, the good thing about taping it is there's the opportunity for some editing.
So we're going to have a 5-minute presentation, right, then is what it's going to turn out to be. But George and I did it on citrus care, culture, and varieties. And I think it's a little early, but I think it went fairly well.
It seemed to, from what I saw of it.
And
it, there's actually some pictures of it on the...
And it's 5 minutes?
No. It was a little
to get edited so that it'll be worthy of presentation. Yes. It's going to be edited down to about 5 minutes, right?
We did. It was probably about an hour and and 10 minute presentation.
Right.
But if they edit out all the worthless stuff, then it's going to be 5 minutes of useful information. Mm. You know, like when I speak here.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, I know what you're speaking of.
Just simmer it down and.
But the link to the Master Gardener site is on the. Is on the Facebook page with the pictures that we posted of you guys filming.
And the way they're doing it this year is, it used to be you'd have to sign up for an individual class, and it was limited. The class sizes were limited, and you would have to pay per class. But this year, it's one fee. I think it's $35 is one fee for all 17 or 18 presentations, and they're going to be done online, and they'll be available online for a week. So you pay $35. You have access to all the seminars, and there's a few workshops as well, and you have access to them for that entire week. It seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Right.
And this year, they get George, too. So it seemed to go well, and I really enjoyed
having banter.
Having a
sidekick.
Sidekick. Well, a cohort.
I enjoyed it as well. It was interesting and a lot of fun.
So we'll see how it all. We have to see.
I'm sure it'll come out great.
Okay, thank you, Mark. That was very kind of you.
Something that we got in the store, in both of the stores that we haven't had for a while, was we got some 15-gallon avocados. Some nice 15-gallon avocados.
Yes.
We got some Haas and some Fuerte from a new grower that we hadn't dealt with before, but they came in looking really good.
The Haas were nice. Did you guys get yours as well?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
The Fuertes are nice looking trees, but they're a little small.
Yeah, small. Everything's right. A little small anymore.
True.
It's true.
Finding full size plants is difficult at best right now. But the guavas that we got in,
gorgeous.
We got some 15-gallon guavas in that are just spectacular.
They are some of the best looking guavas I've seen. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they're
and
really
two colors.
Really nice.
I think there was white ones and pink ones in there.
Right.
In the bunch. So they did look really, really nice.
If you haven't gotten your bare root fruit trees yet, you probably want another week or two, and they're going to be gone. What's left over will be canned up and waiting for sale later in the season.
Probably 2 months for the 5-gallon stuff.
Yeah. So if you want to pick something up while it's still bare root, I would get into the stores now. You still have.
We don't have many, but yes, we still have some.
Yeah, so get in and make your selection while you still can.
I got a call from somebody yesterday that was looking for a blooming peach tree because her mother wanted to buy a blooming peach tree, and she was going to bring her mother out when the trees were in full bloom. And the bare root peach trees are in full bloom right now.
What we have left, we only have a few varieties left.
I told her about the canned ones in the back because I think it's mid prides that are back there that just look perfect. But they're potted and not ready to come out of their pots yet, so they're going to be a little bit. But they do look, the trees look great. They've enjoyed the spring or winter. What
season are we in?
Yes, yeah. What season are
it,
we
it
in?
It feels like when we're with the amount of the volume of customers coming in, it feels like spring. The last, I don't know, 6-8 weeks have felt like the middle of spring.
Yeah, we're doing spring numbers in January and
spring
February.
Sales numbers in January yeah. and February. It's crazy. Yeah,
it really is. It really is. The Wednesday Wisdom this week was on shade trees, I believe.
On trees, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, what we talked about were the benefits of having trees. It was a link to San Diego County or San Diego City government website, and it just listed some of the reasons why we want to have trees in our yard or in the park or on the streets. And you know, obviously the aesthetics is a big piece of it. And then the stress reduction that trees can provide. They give the sense of home to certain, you know, to neighborhoods. If you have a large tree-lined street, it's quite pretty. The foliage filters dust, and obviously the big one is that, you know, sequesters carbon for reducing climate change issues. And
wait a minute.
Go ahead,
what was
David.
What was that?
Now we're going to skip right over that.
I'm going to pay attention for a moment. What did you just say?
We're going on. We're moving on.
Okay.
And so they're, besides being pretty and providing shade, you know, there's a lot of benefit of sitting under a tree in the heat of the summer. It's cool, relaxing, and I personally like having big trees around, mature trees, obviously. And now, David, we once spoke of what's your favorite tree and your least favorite tree as an ornamental tree in the yard. And I know that your least favorite tree is the tree of heaven, right?
Well, you said in the yard. So well, are we referring to my yard? Because that's going to change my answer. Because the first one that came to mind was the ailanthus, the tree of heaven, because it sprouts up everywhere. If you scrape it, it smells like burning rubber. And
well, a colbertaria also sprouts
up
everywhere.
The one in my, that's the one that's in my yard that right. I don't. That would be my least favorite.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
I think they're pretty
trees. I have a scar on my pinky from the taking down of a colbertaria in my yard this week.
That's the Chinese flame
tree.
Chinese
beautiful,
flame.
Beautiful yep. fall blooming tree with seed pods that follow that are even more beautiful.
But will they volunteer everywhere?
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes, they will.
Everywhere, right.
Very, very messy.
So
volunteer
so
everywhere.
So staying on that line, what would be your favorite shade tree to put in your yard? In your yard?
Tipu.
Tipu, you like them?
Yeah.
I do like tipu.
Their seed pods are a little messy, but they're not quite as prolific as far as popping up.
And they can surface root.
Right.
But they are very fast growing. They let a lot of light and air through, so things will grow under them very well. And
they have a huge canopy, too.
Huge yes. canopy, much wider than they are tall. They are drought tolerant, very low water.
It's some yellow flowers.
Heat tolerant. Yeah, they bloom all summer. Flower. So for all the reasons I hate other trees, I like this one. It's messy, but it's fast growing. It is semi-deciduous. It usually right. drops its leaves late in the winter, just before the new growth comes out in the spring. But I like it.
Another one that I really like is Agonis.
Oh, the peppermint willow.
Yeah, peppermint willow.
Right.
I've always liked that tree. We had a huge one at our house on Galveston Street in Bay Park when I was a kid. And a huge, dense canopy. It looks kind of like a weeping willow. Doesn't have a problem with surface rooting. Drops very little litter, whether it's has little teeny flowers on it,
yeah.
And little teeny flowers and the foliage. It just doesn't drop.
And it smells
drop
good.
Anything.
Yeah, yeah. Crush the foliage.
It's one of those trees that when I speak with customers and they're looking for a shade tree we start going through the different available trees for them. When I show them that one, I always bring a book out and show them what it looks like in canopy, large, because we always have just these tiny, you know, skinny specimens, and they can't picture this big canopy.
Yeah, it's hard to sell a tree sometimes.
And they love it.
Describe it.
Yeah.
My vocabulary isn't good enough to paint a picture of a pretty tree.
Well, some say that a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yes, they do.
So, you know, you could do that. Mm-hmm. Do you ever look up to see a tree to know which ones would be pretty or not? Or are you usually looking down as you?
Oh, no.
Do you have a favorite?
I think tipu. I think it's,
aww.
Yeah.
Are you just saying that to be nice to David?
No.
No?
No, we're way beyond that.
All right.
Did you tell? Oh.
I like it.
We need to take a break. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back with more Garden Talk. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We were talking about trees before the break, and George never answered what his favorite tree is.
Well, I think part of it is if I'm looking for a larger tree or small. I like Vitex, the chess tree, for a smaller tree. Bees love them, and so that's good if you've got a lot of other fruit trees around. They come in and that's useful.
Regular or purpurea?
The regular.
Okay.
Right. And then I do have a slight affinity for the Coleopteria because bees love them too. And when they are in bloom, it is just a buzz, literally.
That is true.
Yeah.
And now I'm a little bitter because I do like bees too, and I want to attract and help bees. I have other Coleopterias on the property that I have not chopped down, so the bees will be happy and have those to go to. Okay, I'm good now.
Okay.
Please continue.
Yeah,
Another good evergreen, shade tree, although they can get massive, is a Podocarpus grisiliar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
They can get huge. In my neighborhood in Scripps Ranch, when you bought the house, McMillan was kind enough to plant one tree in the front yard, and they usually planted it right in front of the window of so that it's going to cover the entire thing. But they were almost all Podocarpus. Well, it depended on what street you were on. And on some streets it was Podocarpus, on other streets it was liquid ambers.
The Podocarpus does give dense shade. It's a nice tree to sit under.
Yeah,
you can picnic underneath them,
but
in a blanket.
You've got to deep water them, or you'll get some surface roots on them.
Right,
and you do have to prune them to keep them under control. I know my grandparents planted them around their house in Bay Park.
They were gorgeous.
And those trees were huge when I was a little kid. And I think my grandfather planted those in like 1954 or something like that. So, I mean, they grow pretty quickly once they get going. And it produces a tremendous canopy. They are a little messy, though. They will drop some foliage. And the female ones will drop seeds,
yeah,
which are about the size of a marble, maybe a little bit bigger. We used to walk Blake to school almost every day when he was in elementary school, and as we were walking down the hill when they were producing seeds, I'd reach down and pick them up and then bounce them off the back as
exactly.
of his head.
Throw them at him, yeah.
That's another tree that you have to bring a photograph out when someone's looking at them.
In a 5-gallon container.
They can't picture that canopy at all,
yes.
Right?
Yeah,
and it's sometimes a good idea to show people who want to put a hedge of those in along their property line and put 30 of them in 100 feet what the trunks can do over time.
Mm-hmm.
Say your grandfather's are, what, 2-foot diameter trunks or something?
At least. And we have to call in a tree service every few years to thin them out and lace them out.
But they look fantastic.
Oh, they're beautiful. It's a really pretty tree. Back to tipu is another side benefit of tipuanas. If you're a woodworker, that's a source of rosewood. So as it gets big and you can cut it back, you can have some rosewood to work with. You know, another tree that I really like is camphor trees. That's another one.
That's a good point. That's a pretty tree. A little aggressive on roots.
Yes.
Yeah, but they, again, a big canopy, right. 30, 40 feet.
Yeah, they get huge.
But they drop a lot of seeds.
Yes.
They drop a lot of leaves. They're subject to the Persea avocado mite.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan.
They have
fan.
Some issues, but it's a pretty tree.
Yeah, we all have issues.
You know what I do? You know which one I don't particularly care for, but gets planted a lot in developments and street trees? Is carrot woods.
Oh, hate too strong a word to use for a tree?
Yes.
I hate those bit. Trees. Those trees.
Yes, they do use them as street trees all over. They just don't. To, at least, yes.
They just don't look that
the
good.
The seed pods are incredibly hard. They're worse. I think that's worse than having a liquid amber.
Well, it's like walking on Legos.
Well, and they are listed as a clean street tree, if you leave.
And those seeds are not quite as bad as the Chloroteria as far as popping up, but those carrot woods pop up everywhere.
Yeah.
Just a quick reminder, you guys, I'm the negative Nancy here. Mark is, but you guys are supposed to be the positive ones. So.
So I can't use the word hate. Boy, I really dislike the carrot wood.
It's going to ruin the whole...
The vibe, the feng shui.
Yes. Let's go back to something. It's trees that we like. Okay, can we all agree that we love Japanese maples?
I do, absolutely.
Yes. However, do they make good yard trees?
Not really.
Typically, no.
In the shade of other trees, in the shade of your tipuana, they will.
There's some beautiful ones in University City, but it's not one I would highly recommend.
No. Okay, agreed.
They tend to look bad late in the season.
Correct,
That sounds like it'd be a good song lyric, in the shade of my tipuana. I'm going to write a song. No, in the right place, in the right situation, they're fantastic. But just trying to be positive. We so many negative Nancys here today. I just wanted to be positive. Let's another nice tree, another tree that we like. And
rare one is Ficus roxburghii, I've got a huge one in my backyard.
Which ficus is that?
It's a large leaf ficus. The foliage is almost a foot across, but very, very rare.
Is it roxburghii that was at outside of the theater at SeaWorld? Is there another one with an even larger leaf than roxburghii?
Damaropsis.
That's what it was.
Damaropsis kingiana.
That's it.
It has a different. It's in the same family.
Does it have the same?
Ficus damaropsis.
No, it's Damaropsis kingiana. It used to be Damaropsis kingiana.
You may have just now. I'm going to have to figure this out.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful tree. It's still there.
It's really pretty.
That's the dinner plate fig. Is that what that one is?
I haven't heard that name for it, but it looks very similar to roxburghii, but I believe the foliage is a little bit bigger. But the one I have in my backyard is spectacular.
Is it the same as all the other ficus as far as being incredibly root?
No, it's right. I mean, it's the main trunk is maybe 2.5 feet from the concrete. It's very fibrous rooted. It doesn't produce big. It doesn't produce big surface roots like the nitida. Ficus nitida is horrible.
Beast. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, David, here's one that I dislike. I not use the word hate, but dislike is the Hong Kong orchid tree.
Good. We could. I'll have a discussion with you about that.
I think the flowers are beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
It's a bad-looking tree.
And the minute it's done blooming, it's an ugly tree.
Well, thank goodness it blooms almost 6 months out of the year.
Yeah, but after that, it drops leaves. It looks, not a fan.
You going to help me with this, Mark? Where do you sit on this one?
No, I like them. I mean, there's some beautiful ones in Claremont.
It takes them a little while. They're a crummy-looking 5-gallon. There can be a decent-looking 15-gallon. But once you develop them, They have beautiful foliage on them for probably 6 or 8 months out of the year. They're in bloom for probably 6 months out of the year. And in the spring, when everything else is looking really good and starting to come out, they look crummy. But shortly thereafter, they start putting out their new growth.
Yeah, they do the opposite. Yeah, they don't look good in spring when everything else is starting to look good.
So they're trying to help out during the off season. And you, I thought you would be a supporter of that.
Yeah, not in this case.
All right.
You know, another landscape tree that I like because it adds year round color to it is red leaf plum. Grows quickly, flowers, beautiful flowers in the springtime before they leaf out, and then it fills out with that deep blood red foliage that stays red all year long.
They're a relatively short-lived tree.
They
though.
Are. Yeah, you're only going to get about 12 to 15 years out of it. But man, when you got it's a really pretty tree.
It does produce fruit. You can eat occasionally. Yeah, the house in Rancho Penasquitos, that seemed to be the tree that were in a lot of the homes, and in the course of living there over 20 years, there are none
left.
They're all gone. Yeah.
So if you want to get a similar look with a fruit tree that gives you blooms in the spring and fruit in the summer and beautiful red leaves, what might you plant in its place?
Ooh, that's a good one. I probably would go with a spicy nectar plum.
That was the answer I was fishing for.
Yeah. Which sold out almost immediately from bare root.
Yeah, we sold out quickly, yes.
That is my favorite soft fruit, I think.
You know, I haven't heard that phrase before until yesterday, and I guess it makes sense.
What, soft fruit?
Yes, it's my favorite soft fruit. And what is citrus? Is that hard fruit or medium fruit?
That one I would say is citrus. I mean, that's a different category. As opposed to saying like my apples are the macadamia nuts or something.
I like it. It makes sense to me. I've just called them stone fruits, you know, in my world.
Years, yes.
I don't think I've tried it.
A spicy nectar plum?
Yeah, they're tasty.
Is it?
Tasty.
Oh, it's a delicious
it's
piece
a delight.
Of fruit. Yes. Mm-hmm. I had one, I enjoyed it, and I recommended it to Pete. And Pete came in and he bought one, and he took it home. And at the end of the first or second year, he said, I can't believe you recommended it. It's an awful piece of fruit. And he hated it. He didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah, and it was early. And I you know, we say don't rely on your first taste or just one because you can always have a bad piece of fruit. And I encouraged him to keep it for another year. And he did, and he liked it so much he came and bought a second tree. But his first reaction was, why would you recommend that? So I guess this is a quick time we can just remind everybody out there, in a tree full of fruit, there's going to be many that are not good or may not be good or may not be ripe. And in a younger tree, they're not going to be as well developed. So we can talk more about that
right after this. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. During the break, we were continuing our discussion of trees, and George, you brought up an interesting fact that there are some trees that are not only nice ornamental shade trees, but also produce good fruit.
Right, and David mentioned that with the spicy nectar plum and led us down that path. And I was thinking that I like mulberry trees. They can be messy. I grant you that. So you don't want to put, if you've got a small property, a fruiting mulberry may not be a good choice.
Okay, I'm going to argue that point with you. Discuss it or whatever you want to call it. But
discuss amongst yourselves.
I have to apologize to all of you. Well, the three of you plus the four people listening. I did not see the crescent moon in the sky this morning. It was last night when I went to lock up the chickens. It was in the night sky, not the morning
That's
sky.
That's why the rest of us didn't see
That's
it.
That's why you did not okay. see it. I apologize.
Apology accepted.
Okay, thank yeah. you. Now, mulberries.
So I know they can be very messy as far as the dropping fruit, but they also can be very delicious. So there's a win right there. So you don't plant them next to your sidewalk or next to your car park.
Or
still,
right outside the chicken coop where you walk to and fro.
Yeah, but the chickens like them. The chickens love them.
Yeah, but the shade cloth over the top prevents them from getting to them, so I have to pick them up and give them to my chickens.
Okay, so that's too much work. And then the other one I was thinking of is the Red Baron peach tree.
Beautiful tree.
The flowers are gorgeous.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a nice one. A very nice one.
I shan't argue that point with you.
Any others that you can think of that have fruit that are still a handsome or
can we go back to the mulberries for a moment?
Absolutely.
Way back when I was traveling in Tunisia, in North Africa, around the desert and out in the oasis, the big tree, in addition to the date palms, was the mulberry. That was the upper story over the rest of the canopy out in the desert. So it provided fruit, but it also provided shelter for the citrus and other edibles underneath. So, okay, I'll
give it a pass.
Yeah, and a pass, yes. And my daughter likes to make jam out of it.
I love mulberries. I have quite a few different varieties. A
couple of years ago when she was out visiting, she was pretty excited, and she wanted to come down and pick mulberries to make jam, but I hadn't watered the tree enough, so the mulberries were there, but they were not edible, not even by whatever standard I would create.
Eat them with, yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to make sure they have water this summer.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. As a matter of fact, we are going to go up to San Marcos where Pat is waiting. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I'm a fan of your guys' show, and I'm really enjoying the topic this morning.
Thank you.
But it's also touching on a sore point with me because I live in a town home. And my homeowners association had this mulberry tree that was invasive and caused all kinds of damage to pipes by my house. And I had quite an expense. So they recently planted a strawberry tree, which I want to have moved because it's just messy. But what I'm thinking of is like a crepe myrtle tree. But I would like to know your recommendation for trees that aren't invasive to pipes that you can safely have by your, closer to your home that won't cause a damage to your pipes.
Well, I think depending on where the pipes are, just about any tree or root system could cause a problem.
Can cause a problem, but certain trees are more likely. Which mulberry would be one of them. And neither of the two you mentioned, the strawberry tree is not likely to, but could. And the crepe myrtle is not likely to, but could. But I have seen old crepe myrtles that have taken over, their root system has taken over 6-8 feet where it's just solid up on the surface of roots of those. But that's what happens when they're planted on hard soils and are shallow watered rather than deep watered. But crepe myrtles are generally not considered
not a root problem. Yeah.
If maintained properly.
And by maintained properly, can you be more specific?
As David was alluding to, the deeper waterings as opposed to shallow surface waterings.
Yeah, okay, so when you say deep one, because I'm fairly a new gardener. I've really gotten into it during this COVID. So you're talking about leaving the water run for approximately how long?
Longer. When a new tree is planted, more frequent, shallower irrigations are required because the roots have not moved out of the original root ball. But over time, the sphere that you water, the width and the depth that you water, increases over time as the roots begin to move out and down to where to where after their second summer in the ground, you're soaking the tree longer, less often. How long depends on what kind of a sprinkler system you're using, but you're going to want to soak down 2 or 3 feet or 2 to 4 feet, I learned the other day. From the trunk out to the drip line and down 2 to 4 feet on an established tree. Whatever it takes for your watering system to do that.
Great. Now, I've gotten into timing the sprinkler systems, and they go on for about 10 to 15 minutes, which probably is not adequate for deep watering. Am I right? And that's usually 3 times a week.
Once it's established, it's considered a water-wise or drought-tolerant tree. But when you do water it once a week or once every 10 days, it needs that deep watering that David was describing.
Well, their schedule is 3 times a week for about 10 to 15 minutes.
I'm happy
to get my hose out and water on my own. That's not a problem.
Well, once they're established, most trees don't need to be watered 3 times a week. Yeah, that's something you'll have to deal with.
And that's where the hose comes in.
Right.
That's going to be your path to success, is giving it the deep watering with the hose.
Okay, great. Thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate your input.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving us a call. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
So she was talking about the crepe myrtle. I actually like them a lot.
That is another pretty, very pretty tree.
It's drought tolerant.
Easy, yes.
Typically doesn't have invasive roots. A lot of variation in size availabilities, 25-footers or 10-footers, and a big, long spring bloom.
Yep, lots of colors.
Fall foliage.
The only thing I would say, I totally agree, except for I'm going to say summer bloom rather than spring bloom, but I totally agree.
Right, summer bloom. And the only negative is they are a deciduous tree, and some people want green leaves all year round, and they look a little naked and ugly in the winter.
And they can mildew.
Some of the varieties, absolutely, more inland.
They love the heat.
Thank goodness we were all almost in agreement that it's a nice, great tree, and now somebody has some detractors.
It is a great tree.
It is, but yeah. You're right about the mildew, especially along the coast.
Correct.
But one of the most beautiful root systems I've ever seen, surface root systems, was on a crepe myrtle off of Ted Williams Parkway, and it was trying to grow out of that hill, but it was probably somewhere between 6 foot, probably about a 6 foot diameter circle of a pattern of roots with little areas of dirt in between, but it's surface root and it's beautiful.
The other tree that she mentioned, the strawberry tree, I've seen some strawberry trees that are absolutely stunning. Yeah. And I think part of it is that red bark that they have.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I think it's a gorgeous plant.
It looks like it's made out of copper. I mean, they're really pretty trees.
I kind of chuckled to myself a little bit when she said, the strawberry tree, but it's kind of messy. I'd rather have a crepe myrtle. Well, from a messy standpoint, there's going to be more leaf litter, more flower litter. They're deciduous. There's going to be much more litter from a crepe myrtle than from a strawberry tree. But if you don't like a tree or if you don't like something, you're going
to
come up with the reasons why you don't like it.
Right, exactly.
And it was kind of, I thought, funny.
Yes.
We were up at Mission San Antonio up by Paso Robles a few years ago, and they had some huge strawberry trees planted in the courtyard of the mission. They were just absolutely beautiful trees.
And those are the regular strawberry tree, not the marina.
Not marina, yeah.
Neat and tree, it produces an edible fruit.
Yeah, the other tree that they had up there that was absolutely beautiful and spectacular. It was right outside the church. Was a huge mission olive that I believe was planted when they built the mission.
I wonder where they got that name.
Maybe
the mission olive.
Hmm.
Well, we'll have to think about that maybe for next.
But
week.
It was massive. Absolutely massive.
Did you guys see the story on the news yesterday about the pepper trees, I think, in Mission Hills?
In Kensington.
Yes, I saw that.
Well, they had issues with the pepper trees down by the golf course in Old Town a few years ago.
The California peppers? I didn't see the article.
They came through and they took a bunch of them out, and then they replanted new ones again. So they put smaller ones.
Tough place to be in when you are advocating for chopping out a 50 or 100-year-old tree or whatever it is, and safety, this, that, whatever, and then people like trees and don't want trees gone. It's a tough position to be in. I remember it was the first time I met Mike Kirby, and I didn't even know I met him. But when I was a little kid, they were widening Avocado Boulevard out in East County where it dropped down into El Cajon. Mm-hmm. And to widen it, they were going to have to chop down the eucalyptus trees. But there were a bunch of people standing there, and I remember my sisters were there and people I didn't know trying to protect the trees. Well, the road got widened, the trees are gone. But I still remember that. That was
a while ago.
When I was a youngin', I remember. But we were trying to do nothing.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same. But it,
and we're back right now, with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We've been talking about trees, but I wanted to switch it up a little bit. Change the subject on trees to palm trees. And we had a customer in just the other day. She had big date palms in her yard and was wondering if there was any news or any new developments on the weevil, the palm weevil. And when you start looking around San Diego and you look at the date palms, it's amazing how many Canary Island date palms are dead or in the process of dying. Pretty much all of them that I can see in the river valley are gone. There's several big ones, I think in Presidio Park that are gone. For such a small insect, it just wipes those trees out. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. But supposedly you can keep them under control by using the systemic soil drench.
Under control or preventive? I think it's a preventive.
So they don't get started.
You have to
be proactive.
And protect your palms prior to the infestation. So if you have a prized palm that you would not like to see disappear, or that it would destroy your life, then the once a year soil systemic poured around the base of a palm tree will help to protect it for up to a year.
Yeah, because
she said she was doing that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, and she had talked to an arborist that said that she should be spraying the canopy and using the soil drench, which
doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Plus, it'd be almost impossible for a homeowner to spray the canopy of a Canary Island date palm. And you know, the other problem too is if you don't take care of it and the tree dies, then you're talking about a lot of money to have a tree service come in and take that thing out, because that's something that the average homeowner would never be able to do on their own.
Correct.
The amount of foliage that's on it and the size of the trunk. And I know there was a few years ago there was a problem when there was a fungus that was getting into them, and the crown would die and the trunk would rot at the base of the crown, and then in a windstorm it would fall off, and you're talking about a chunk of tree that's going to weigh 1,500, 2,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And they had serious problem with it up in Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills. They were falling over and falling onto cars and had major problems. That doesn't seem to be as big of an issue now as it was a few years ago. But man, that weevil is just incredible.
So taking a gallon of the once a year systemic, will generally protect them. I'm not going to say it's absolute, but if you get it into the trunks before the weevil gets in there, if it's in the tree and you could do it without spraying, then when the weevil tries to get into the tree, it'll get killed by the insecticide. Once the weevil is in, it's going to be too late. And that's the same with many different trees. If you have a protective inside the bark, and again, you can do this without spraying, then when the bug tries to get in, as it's penetrating the bark, it'll get killed by the insecticide. And sometimes the sap of the trees is there to protect them, but on trees that are stressed or don't have enough of it, the invaders can go right through.
Yeah. Yeah. But take a look around town when you're driving around and look at the big Canary Island date palms, and you'll see them. They're all over the place.
Well, I have a client in Rancho Santa Fe, and they have a bunch of Canary Island date palms on their property. And last year when we were walking the property and talking about it, they did not want to take the chance. And so they bought a bunch of the once a year, and they're applying it to each of their palms every year now as a preventive. And the costs involved in removing one of those, it's kind of like a safety deposit box or insurance. It's a small price to pay to prevent whatever might come.
Yes, indeed.
Well, do you like palm trees in general? Just, we're talking about trees, because I'm not a fan of any. Nothing strikes me as...
I like them. It depends on what it is. I'm not a huge fan of Canary Island date palms just because they get so big.
Right.
But I think queen palms are nice, although they can be problematic as they get older, because you have to keep the dead foliage cut off of them. But once they start blooming, that's when they can get messy. And you cut those seed pods off, if the seed's almost matured, the seed pods can weigh
hundred
pounds.
Yeah.
I mean,
we deal with that every year in Point Loma. Yeah. We trim them back, but yeah, they're heavy.
I like king palms, but they can be kind of temperamental, but they're nice because they get, as they get mature, they're self-cleaning. When the foliage starts to fade, you can just pull it straight off without any problem at all.
You don't have to cut it. You don't have to hire somebody to cut it. Yeah. They will fall. They'll stay on there for a little longer than you may want, but they'll fall on their own.
Yeah. And the seeds are much smaller, although they do produce a lot of them. They look nice in multiple trunk plantings.
True.
Mm-hmm. One of the ones that I really like, but it's extremely rare around here, is Cuban royal palms. I mean, when those are growing, the trunk looks like it's made out of cast concrete, and just really green crowns to them.
Are those royal palms still down in Mission Bay Park near the Hilton? I remember your dad, the first time he showed me one, he was saying,
know.
It looks like you're driving up to a light standard, a concrete light standard, but it's the trunk of the royal palm. And was there one on Lytton Street? As you're headed up, not Lytton, what has Lytton become? Chatsworth?
Well,
no.
Yeah, it changes to Chatsworth. Yes. After you cross Rosecrans.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think there was one up in that area, but they're cold sensitive around here, so you've got to have them close to the coast.
I
like coconut palms too. I think they're really pretty, but they just don't.
Yeah.
They just don't grow around here. Although there was a landscape architect that lived in La Jolla, and I can't remember his name now. But he kind of determined that what he thought the problem was the roots get too cold. So he built like a little solarium over the root system, like a little greenhouse, to keep the roots warmer in the wintertime, and his trees were doing very well.
Huh. I like ones that don't need that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of work. Yes. But, you know, but man, if you live in a tropical area like Florida or Hawaii, man, they're beautiful trees. But then you run into the problems. You've got to keep them pruned, and you got to keep the coconuts out of them, because as the coconuts get ripe, then they start falling out of the trees, and that'll kill you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's some. There's give and take.
Yes. sometimes that might be a good thing.
Yeah.
My folks have a blue Mexican fan palm that was planted, I don't know, 50 years ago, and it was small, and on one side it was just on the back side of the house. Well, now you can see it over the house. Yeah. And it's next to a 50-year-old Canary Island date palm, which towers over it. But I never thought it would get big enough to get over the house, but you can see it from the other side, which is kind of neat. It's a pretty palm and super durable.
You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KPRZ and KCBQ.
You're right.
I got to keep my alphabet straight. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 7 o'clock with another hour of Garden Talk. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew, or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com, or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.